Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text is Hebrews 13, verse 6. So, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is the text. So if someone were to ask you, what are the insecurities that you have about today's world? I wonder how you would answer that question. I'm not looking for anyone to shout out an answer, so keep it to yourself. But again, reflect upon that just for a moment. What are the insecurities that you have in today's world? Well, that was the very question, actually, that recently Chapman University, the researchers there in Orange, California, decided that they wanted to present that question to the American people, and they wanted to see, at this moment in time, what are the insecurities that the American people have? And they just recently conducted this research, so it's the answers are fresh and new, and they came up with the top 10 things that people are insecure about in America here today. As I look over the list, I find that these items basically fall into two categories. Those things that are political in nature and those things that are personal. Here are the responses. Among the things that fall into the category of political, today Americans are fearful of having corrupt government officials. They are fearful of Russia using nuclear weapons. They are concerned that the U.S. might become involved in a world war, and they don't want that. They're concerned that North Korea might use nuclear weapons. Americans are fearful of a terrorist attack, of biological warfare. In the personal category, there were things such as this that they noted. The American people are concerned about having someone that you love become seriously ill. And related to it, and yet different, Americans are concerned about someone that you love dying. We are concerned about not having enough money, especially heading into our future. We are concerned about being victims of a cyber attack, identity theft, etc. Now, a moment ago, I asked you, what are your insecurities about today's world? And I don't know how many of the answers I just presented to you fell in line with the researchers of Chapman University. But whether yours fell into these categories or you had some unique to your own, I would expect that a great number of these fears, whatever they are somehow tied in to relating to your fellow man. Interestingly enough. Certainly all the political ones fall into that category. Corrupt government officials, nuclear weapons being used, a world war, terrorist attack, biological warfare. We're scared of what someone else is going to do and how the actions of others are going to impact us. And even when it came to personal things, yes, of course, a victim of a cyber attack, but even issues such as medical items. We're concerned, does the medical community have an answer to my needs? Fearful they won't be able to address it. They won't be able to fix it. In some cases, we might fear they've even caused it. I've gotten bad advice, a bad diagnosis. I'm getting a side effect of a medication that someone else said that I should take. Here in this fallen world, we realize the impact on humanity and how humanity itself is a threat to us in some manner or form. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's what the text says. I will not be afraid. I'm not scared of what other human beings may do to me or how they may impact my life. What can man do to me? And then from our point of view, we'd say, well, man can do a lot. Every time I turn on the news, there's some report of something that somebody has done. There's a shooting at a school. There's a robbery. There's a theft. There's a rape. War going on. People making choices politically that I would not make. What can man do to me? I would say man can do a lot to me. That's why I have the fears that I do and the insecurities that I have within life. I've often thought of the time when Jesus was visiting at Mary and Martha's home, and I think Perry even referenced that in his last sermon, if I recall correctly. While one sister, you know, is very anxious and worried, busy taking care of things. And Jesus says to her, "You are anxious and worried about many things." And I've often thought, what a good commentary on humanity. I don't think it's just Martha who is anxious and worried about many things. I think we are anxious and worried about many things. I think you have come here to this house of worship today and you have carried with you some of your own anxieties and your own worries. What are the worries that have weighed upon you this week? That maybe even keep you up at night. It's hard to sleep. Because I'm concerned about what man may do or how things may unfold in my life, how I'm vulnerable, how I'm at risk. And so I listen to these words of our speaker from the book of Hebrews. I will not fear. And I'm thinking, boy, I'd like to be able to bottle that and sell that. I would like to know how I can put my head on my pillow and be totally at ease and at peace. I would like to know how I could walk into the church ready to deliver a sermon and not be so nervous. I would like to be able to walk into the church sitting in the pew, not be fearful of how long the pastor might preach. I would like to know how to live my life without fear. What's his basis for saying this? How can he live like that? The Lord is my helper, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. And it's on that basis that he says, and therefore I'm not going to be scared of man or what comes around in life. I will not be afraid, because the Lord is my helper. And the Greek word here in the New Testament is boethos. Take note of that, seminarian. Boethos, which means he is one who comes to my rescue and my aid. My God is the one who aids me, who rescues me. And this New Testament term, I believe, is a very close parallel to the Old Testament term of Redeemer, Goel. And I'm so impassioned on this word and this idea that I have it tattooed on my arm. On my right arm, there's a Hebrew phrase. It's derived from Isaiah 54, verse 5. Translated, it says, "The Holy One of Israel is my Redeemer." And there's the word, my Redeemer. Now, we're very familiar with the word Redeemer. We know it means to buy back, and we think of how Jesus Christ shed his blood in order to atone for our sins and to buy us back and to make us his own. But what many people don't realize is that the term has a much deeper history and significance for people, for God's people, than that. I mean, what I just shared with you, that definition of Redeemer, is true. But as I had researched that, what I found is that in the olden days, a redeemer, every family had a redeemer. A redeemer was your go-to guy. your Redeemer in your family was the one who would be there for you in the worst of times. And when you were in need, they would step up to the plate and they would take care of things for you. And a beautiful example of this in the Old Testament is when kings came marauding through the land and they took Lot and all his family. Remember? And they captured him and they drug him away. And when his uncle, Abraham, heard about this, he got together all his men of valor and of war, and he pursued these kings, and he hunted them down, and he killed them, and he set his nephew Lot free, and he brought back Lot and his wives and all his possessions and all his livestock and returned them to where they belonged. Abraham was Lot's redeemer. The go-to guy, the one in the family, when there was a problem, would step in and take care of it. Your God is your boethos, he is your helper, and is with you always, and he is your redeemer. He's the one who steps into the gap to save you, and not just from your sins, but for life. In all manners of details of life. And the scriptures are filled with encouragement for us, reminding us of this. Psalm 46, therefore we will not fear, though the earth trembles, though the waters roar and mountains are cast into the depths of the sea. Why? Because our God is the rock of our salvation. He is our redeemer. He is our boethos, our helper. In Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua chapter 1, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You cannot separate yourself from his presence. He is always with you. And that's why I told the children, even when your parents can't be there, you're not alone. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And because of that, you do not need to be afraid. Right? The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me or what the world tosses at me. Psalm 91, this is a great psalm to read if you're having a weak moment, a scared moment. God is our refuge and our fortress. He covers us with his wings. He shields us. He commands his angels to watch over us. He holds us close. He delivers us. Isaiah 41. God strengthens us. He helps us. He upholds us by his righteous right hand. Jesus himself said, John 16, yes, in this world there are many trials and tribulations. It's all the stuff we were talking about earlier, the things I'm scared of, things that make me unsettled, the things that make me feel vulnerable and at risk. Jesus would say, I know, I get it. Yes, you're in a world where there are many trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome them all. I am greater than them all. And that's why he would say, my peace I give to you. Not as the world is trying to give to you. I get it. There are many things to scare you and make you feel insecure and make you feel vulnerable. I get it. But I'm not giving to you what the world is giving to you. I can give you peace. It surpasses all human understanding. So do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man, what can the world do to me? You see, I think the real significance of this topic rests upon this. It's not how big and threatening your problem is. It's not how big and threatening your problem is. What matters is how big and powerful and awesome our God is. When I am looking at my problem, the thing that causes me fear, and I dwell upon that and I reflect upon it, I find my internal being becoming twisted up. I become anxious. My heart beats quicker. I feel unsettled. I feel vulnerable and at risk. But when I'm looking at my God and I'm focused upon Him, I realize how He has been faithful to a number of generations. He has been so good to me in my life. I realize I have a history where there have been so many times I have called out to Him and He has brought me through. He's the calm in the midst of the storm. He is the peace that surpasses all human understanding. He is my Boethos, my helper. He is my go-to guy, my redeemer, my comforter, my Lord, my God. And He is the one who has said, "Call upon me. Call upon me in that time of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, amen.